The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4WN Radio.
Welcome to Solo Pro Radio on the Women for Women Network. It's the only resource for self-employed professionals to build their business. I'm Barbara Saunders, the Solo Pro Success Coach, and it's my mission to help brilliant, creative solo pros go from freelance to flourishing. I do that as the director of the International Association of Self-Employed Communication Professionals and as the founder of the Solo Pro Academy, where I have programs focused specifically on helping solo pros build and run a profitable business that they love. Swing on by soloprosuccess.com and pick up your free Income Accelerator Success Kit. If you'd like to join in on today's conversation, call in on Skype for free with W4WN Radio, or you can phone in at 561-422-4365. Or, if you're listening at the site, w4wn.com, you can join in on the conversation with the chat boxes at the bottom right of the website. Before we begin today's conversation, I wanted to tell you about a new program I have coming up called Charge What You're Worth. That's beginning February 21st. Every day, I see brilliant, solo-based professionals sabotage their own success in dozens of ways by undercharging, under-earning, giving away too much of their time, bartering or doing trades, lowering their fees, giving away free services, or being fearful to make an offer, or just charging by the hour. It's one of my missions to help solo pros step up into your role as a CEO of your own business and start earning the level of income that you deserve. Did you know that when you undercharge, not only do you miss out on the income you deserve, but you also miss out on the respect that you're entitled to? Low fees don't get the attention of motivated clients. They don't bring out the best in the clients you do have. People respect and value what they invest more in. There's a lot of factors that come into play when we talk about our prices. Some of the difficulty is grounded in how we look at and deal with money. Some of it's emotional. Some of it comes from how we see what we do as a collection of tasks. It's really hard to put a number on that. Many service providers have a hard time qualitatively looking at the service they provide and putting a price on it. Instead, they will defer to comparing themselves to what others are charging, and they just try to charge less. That is one of the worst ways to set your prices. It pits you in a bidding war with people who may or may not offer a similar level of service, and it gives the potential client just one criteria to choose from, the lowest price. You cannot make a living that way. And you are better than that. You deserve to be paid well for what you do. Never, ever compete for the lowest price again. In this new Charge What You're Worth program, you'll learn exactly how to figure out what to charge for your services, how to compellingly and authentically communicate that value to your clients. And I'm going to include, for the first time now, how to create signature service packages that will set you apart from your competition. They'll make you look like an expert, and they'll streamline your business at the same time. We're also going to do some powerful exercises that will reprogram how you look at money and how you deal with it. It's quite possible that you've been sabotaging yourself for years without even knowing it. With this formula, exercises, scripts, and training, you'll be able to get out of your own way and turbocharge your business into an income-generating machine. Like I said, this course will be beginning February 21st, and you can register for it right now at tinyurl.com/solopro charge, all one word. So let's dive into today's call. My guest today is Bill Patti of yourvoiceprofessor.com. He provides training to improve voice and speech skills for individuals and businesses nationwide. Bill has a background in radio and TV broadcasting. He's worked as an announcer for various stations in Florida, and he has been a leading voiceover talent for years in commercials, videos, and DVDs for the Golf Channel, Disney Hollywood Studios, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, SunTrust, Darden Restaurants, Westgate Resorts, and hundreds of others. He's also taught speech and broadcasting courses at the University of Central Florida for 13 years. And he's a graduate of Butler University in Indianapolis with a degree in radio, TV, and speech. Bill has a program called Presenting Your New Voice, Voice, Speech, Communication Skills for the 21st Century. He teaches how proper breathing, articulation, resonance, projection, and pitch methods will positively impact your life in everyday conversations, work presentations, and telephone skills. And I have to tell you, your voice is one of your most important assets as a solo pro. So I'm so thrilled to say welcome, Bill.
Hi, how you doing, Barbara?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to jump in and start chatting with you. And a little intimidated.
I love what you said about charging people, too. You know, what you're worth. That is so true, isn't it?
Oh, it so is. I think people in our community especially forget that they're brilliant and that brilliance has a value.
Everybody's worth what they've earned through the years of experience, you know.
Definitely. You've invested in that education, haven't you?
Absolutely. Well, we're ready to go. I'm ready to talk voice and speech skills. Are you ready to learn?
I am so excited. Tell me a little bit about your background in communication. It's just huge.
Well, as you mentioned, I've been a radio TV announcer for many, many years, worked in just about every facet of the business, and also worked as a college professor for many, many years. So I decided to combine the two, voice and professor, and came up with, of course, yourvoiceprofessor.com, which is the name of my business, in which I teach people voice speech skills all over the United States, both individually and in business situations, where I would bring in employees and we would go through a 3-hour PowerPoint presentation in which I teach them actually how to talk. Now, you're probably saying, Barbara, I already know how to talk, Bill. No, you do not know how to talk. So that's what I do. I basically train people how to get the most out of their voice, to get the most out of their life, their career, even their love life.
Really fascinating. You know, I remember years ago watching a OPB, you know, a public television show where Richard Attenborough was giving voice lessons to Princess Diana. And it was so fascinating because it was just, she was absolutely wrung out by the end of it. It was so complex. Talk a little bit about like what you do with one of your students.
Well, basically, I have several ways of teaching. As I mentioned, I do individually, and we do it right here like we're doing right now on the telephone. We also go right up to businesses and maybe travel around the country to a business, bring a group of individuals into a room, do a PowerPoint for 3 hours, or I sell them my CD, my 2-CD set, which is kind of an easy way to do it and a cheaper way because you get a chance to listen in your car or in your home or wherever you are, and listen over and over to the lessons and skills that I teach you on this CD. And this will give you an opportunity to learn how to do things like proper breathing, articulation, resonance, projection, pitch, all those things that you don't think about when you talk that are so important to the way people perceive you as a person.
That's a great point. You know, I was listening to you. I love that we have all of these great tools. We have the internet and we have Twitter and, you know, I don't know about texting yet. I like to have all the vowels there when I'm reading. But you say that we really don't communicate as well as we did, you know, even just 30 years ago. Why is that? Talk a little bit more about that. What have we lost?
Well, think about it. 30 years ago, when I was a lad, well, it was a little longer than that, but anyway, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we used to have at my house what was called a party line on the telephone. Now, for those of you who don't know what a party line is, that is that my father he actually had the phone company give us a cheaper rate on the phone line if we would get on a party line with other members of the neighborhood. So imagine that I had four families on my party line, four families, and I never could get on the phone to call my girlfriend because Mrs. Manzik next door was always on the telephone. If you picked up the phone, there she was. That's how it went just 30 or 40 years ago.
Really?
And look what we are today. Cell phones do everything but dial the number for us, and they do that
too. Some of them do.
In fact, things have changed in communication. You talked about texting, Twittering, all of that. But are we really doing the communication that we used to? Are we having dinner with our family? Are we talking to neighbors? Mm. Are we really communicating at work? Do we know those skills? Do we have those skills anymore? Or do we just use our thumbs to talk?
Yeah. Great point. You know, I'm kind of hearing the word connecting in the back of my mind. We're not connecting as well, even though we're more connected.
Sure. How many cable channels do you have now? Hundreds of cable channels, and yet we still complain there's nothing to watch, and people are talking 24 hours a day on these cable channels, and yet somehow we aren't connected together. We seem more divisive rather than connected. So this is a problem, and communication is the key to success. No matter what you do, no matter who you are, if you are a great communicator, you will be more successful. It is a proven fact. So you need to learn how to use your voice properly, how to speak properly. You will excel no matter where you work, what your career is, and who you would like to marry.
Uh-oh. Especially since we're here in February, you know, nearing Valentine's Day, that actually does have a point, an effect, doesn't it?
It sure does.
How, you know, what does your voice say about the kind of person we are?
Well, think about it. When you walk in a room, do people perceive you as a rich person, a poor person, a person who's a great speaker, a person who's not a great speaker, a person who's very successful, a person who's not successful? How do we do that? We look at the clothes you wear, the shoes you have on, the style of your hair. Are you got a scraggly beard there? Now, are you able to talk in complete sentences without saying, you know what I'm saying?
And the dreaded
that's
like.
Kind of thing. Yes.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, when I think power, you know, I always get James Earl Jones's voice in my head. You know, that you're very right. It's the quality of that voice.
Think of it. All he says is three words. This is CNN. He identifies an entire network with power in a voice that, believe it or not, actually, he was a stutterer for many years.
I did not know that.
Yes, he overcame it. He's a great actor. He's a great voiceover talent, along with a lot of other celebrities today who are paid a lot of money to sell products. For example, Tim Allen is the hottest voiceover talent right now. Listen carefully the next time you hear a Campbell's Soup commercial or a General Motors commercial. He is the voice of those two major products, and I'll bet you he makes millions of dollars doing it.
You know, that's funny. I never recognized his voice in that way before, but you're right.
Many others like Gene Hackman for Lowe's Lumber. Yes, Gene Hackman is selling lumber. And there's Tom Selleck for orange juice. You know, on and on the list goes of famous people who basically are paid very, very well to put their voice behind a product. Why? Because the voice is recognizable. It's familiar to us in our brain. It's registering. Even though we may not be aware of who that is, we know that voice. It's familiar to us. We want to go buy some Campbell's soup.
That's a great point. They're well-trained voices with some subliminal clues.
Absolutely, yes. And they are well-trained because they're actors. Actors are well-trained. Politicians can be actors. You remember Ronald Reagan.
Oh,
yes. One of the greatest communicators. Why? Because he was an actor and read off a teleprompter like no one else in the world. And because of all those skills he had from movies and television, he was an incredible communicator. It sure helped him to become president.
You know, that's an excellent point. You know, I just kind of became politically aware when President Reagan took office. And I can remember just looking, it was really part of the package. You know, he did have that Bob's Big Boy haircut. But you got past that when he began speaking. There was a credibility and a trustability. If you didn't, I didn't understand his policies at all, but there was just a trustability there. You know, how do you teach someone to do that?
Well, there are certain people that are born with that skill, and I'm sure Ronald Reagan was born with fantastic skills. He was a radio announcer before he became an actor. And many people come up that way in radio, and they have a great voice, they have a great ability to speak before they're even trained. But training does bring it along. Some people need more training than others. Even when I was young, and I wanted to be a radio announcer from the time I was 10 years old, before my voice changed, I didn't have the skills necessary. I wasn't necessarily born with those skills. I had to develop them over years and years of training and practice. And this is about practice. That's what my CD talks about. You practice these skills over and over until you get better. It doesn't take forever. It's a pretty fast process if you really intensely go at this and work to change the way you sound. Now, the way you do that is to listen to the way you sound. You have to record yourself. Record yourself in some way. I'm assuming you record this broadcast and you listen to it again, right? You listen to yourself.
Yes, definitely.
And that's how you improve. You're your best critic of the way you sound, yet many people don't want to hear their voice because they don't like the way they sound.
Interesting. You know, you mentioned that, you know, James Earl Jones had a stuttering problem, and I remember there was a movie last year about the king who had the stuttering problems. You know, a lot of people, you know, mumble or talk too fast. Or I know a lot of women, the more excited they get, the higher they go. It becomes ultrasonic. You know, how can you deal with problems like that?
Well, the two biggest problems, as you mentioned, are talking too quickly and mumbling. Now, mumbling is not to correct by simply slowing down, and talking too fast is also a slowing down process. How do you do that? How do you make your brain slow down, even though it's got all that information in there, and you want to get it to that person so quickly? You have to keep telling yourself, slow down. I will do that when I speak. I hear myself inside my head say, Bill, slow down. And I do slow down. And then I'm speaking at just about the right pace. The problem is, I think it's too slow, but it's not. Everyone can hear me clearly, and they can understand each syllable I'm saying. That's a great communicator. But I can also take all of that information in my brain, and I can deliver it in a wonderful way to an audience, so that when I talk to them, I pause at the right moment. Oh. I take a moment to hit a word very hard, and I speak a little louder or a little softer. There's so many ways to get people to listen to what you have to say. And it's a wonderful feeling of power to know they are on the edge of their seat waiting for you to say your next word.
You know, that's really powerful, especially for self-employed people because, you know, like we said at the beginning of our talk here, that what they've got in their brains, all that knowledge and expertise is what is so valuable. Content is gold today. And if they're not getting that message out in a credible and, you know, a way that's meaningful to the people listening, then that value is not going to get out.
Absolutely. And again, you're being judged by what you're saying. So if you are a salesperson, let's say, and you're on the telephone, or you're a salesperson in someone's office and you're making a pitch, that first 30 seconds that you do is very important. You better have it memorized. You better be ready to go and say it properly. You better have the answers to the questions they have for you. You have to have that confidence, the skill, a smile. You know, a smile can a lot of people. If you smile while you talk, especially on the telephone, people will feel you're friendlier, that you know what you're talking about. There'll be a confidence in what you're saying to them that they will believe they probably will buy your product.
That is huge. You know, I'm thinking of a conversation I heard, an interview with Meryl Streep recently, who just played Margaret Thatcher. And one of the things she talked about was how intensive she had to be trained, Margaret Thatcher had to be trained to speak in exactly the way you're talking about, not only as, you know, being a prime minister and a woman of power, but being a woman amongst all the men and getting that credibility factor in there.
Yes,
absolutely. It's very powerful.
And, you know, the truth of the matter is I had a one of my students lived in Texas, and it was a female, and she was a vice president of a company. Now, think of this. She has a southern drawl, and you know what most men think when they hear a southern drawl. They say, oh, that is the cutest little accent I ever heard, darling. You are the sweetest little thing. Well, you know what? She's a vice president among all these male vice presidents and presidents, and she doesn't want to be treated like a sweet thing. She wants to be treated as a vice president. So we had lessons with her to train her how to talk to people in a group, and then it wouldn't necessarily discriminate against her because she was so sweet when she talked. She sounded so sweet. This is a problem for women. You can sound improper during certain business circumstances. You know, if you want to sound totally professional and businesslike, sometimes you do need a little help, a little training. And I remember Margaret Thatcher. She seemed like she always talked a little fast and kind of mumbled a little bit, so it was a little more difficult to understand what she was saying. So that I can understand that she probably did take some speech training.
You know, it's really fascinating. What do you do if you have an accent like that? You know, I love hearing Dolly Parton, but I think she's fat. She's fought against that perception of being, you know, the kind of sweet, sort of empty-headed Southern woman all her life. Yet she's a powerful businesswoman. What do you do with an accent?
She's very powerful, but you know, she knows how to switch it on and off. If she goes on television. And she, for example, I remember her years ago with Johnny Carson. I mean, she could just turn it on with Johnny Carson on his show so that she would basically, you know, be playing along with him and almost playing into that role because that's what she wanted to do. Marilyn Monroe was another woman that was not a stupid woman. She was a very smart woman, but she played the role she wanted to play because that was the role of her career. But the fact of the matter is, you can change the way you deliver depending on the situation. Oprah Winfrey is a good example of somebody who can change her speech depending on the people she's talking to. President Obama is another gentleman who can change his speech. He can change the way he talks to people depending on the group he's talking to. Recently, he was talking to an all-black group in New York. In Harlem, I believe it was. He was doing a fundraiser, and this got national press, and he came out, and he started singing a song like Al Green.
Oh.
I don't know if you saw that on the national news.
Yes, I did.
So he actually flipped a switch, and he started talking to a different type of demographic and group by changing speech pattern, okay, and by singing. But at other times, he can be very serious, and he can be doing another. He switches again to another type of speech for a business speech or a serious situation. He may switch again. That's a really excellent speaker who can change his delivery to match his audience and the mood that he needs. That takes a lot of experience.
That is huge. Is that a mental thing? Is that something that you have to learn? I mean, we talked earlier about connecting, and I'm sure it has something to do with that. That fascinates me.
Yes, and it is experience. It is the situation where you're thinking about the fact, as I do when I go in to do a speech, I gauge people as they're walking in the door. I'm looking at them. I see the kind of group. I was at a speech this morning, and I was in a very small town, and the people there were quite different from a large city. So you understand that they speak differently. They may think differently. And you have to adjust your speaking and your speech to relate to the people you're talking to, okay? You don't talk down to them. You just talk where they are at their level. So you can't talk over their heads. So there is an adjustment that goes on, and the smart speakers are able to make those changes as they go along. They're able to find the things to do with that audience to bring them in and make them feel comfortable. That little joke at the beginning of your speech, mm-hmm. that little feeling of bonding when you mention a few people's names that you met as you came into the room. Because you're coming into a place where you don't know anyone. It's all strangers mm-hmm. to you. So you have to take on the mood of the crowd and then work the crowd and be an effective speaker. Obama does it in an excellent mm-hmm. fashion. Reagan was another pro at that. He could just turn any occasion, whether it was sad or happy, into an absolute brilliant oratory example. And there's been many, many presidents through the years. John Kennedy was another one that was brilliant when he was talking to the media or when he was talking to, you know, his constituents. That's the type of person who really makes an excellent communicator, and that's the key to being a great president.
That's a brilliant point, and it's a key to being a good business person, too. You want them on your side.
Absolutely. You know, if you can find some common ground, and it's like that with anybody, the minute you meet them, if you find some common ground, you heard something as you came in that they are a fan of a particular football team or, you know, whatever it happens yeah. to be, and you got enough information up in your head that you can kind of pull back and find something to talk about with them, bingo, you're in.
The yeah, way it goes. There's kind of, finding it sounds that, like, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's finding that common ground that's so important in our lives. That is communication.
You know, what I was going to say is that it made me think that really what you're doing is putting the spotlight on them rather than taking the spotlight yourself.
Yes, and today, I hate to say, again, we have changed as a society. We like to put the spotlight on ourselves. This comes from watching all of this reality television, where we're taking really ordinary people and we're turning them into television stars, okay? All the people from, you know, Snooki and, you know, how many of the Kardashians, how many people can I name that actually they don't dance, sing, they don't do anything that we know of other than they're
just
on television.
Train wrecks.
So we watch them. And they're outrageous, but other than that, they don't really have any particular talent. But there they are, and why is that? Well, because somehow they appeal to us, and somehow they have a big ego, and as a result of that, they are the most important thing. So what's happening is it's beginning to rub off on people from the country. Now, everybody begins to think, well, my life is the most important thing. What I do is the most important thing. No, when you're in business, you want to think about that person you're talking to. That's got to be the center of attention for you if you want to make that sale.
Brilliant point, brilliant point. I know that you talk about six goals that we need to achieve when we're improving our speech and our voice skills. And you talked about vocal health being, you know, really kind of a goal number one. What is meant by that? What do you mean by vocal health?
Well, do you realize what your voice is all about, Barbara? Do you have any idea?
It's a lot of noise.
Do you understand the process that goes on?
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay. Basically, we have what's called, most people call them vocal cords, but they're really vocal folds. They are mucous membranes in our throat that vibrate at tremendous speeds to produce sound. We do that by forcing air through them, and these mucous membranes are lubricated like an engine in a car needs oil. These mucous membranes need water. Because they need to be hydrated. That's very important. So when you speak a long time, you must always have some water near you, bottled water or some kind of water, not caffeine, Coke, tea, coffee, no, because caffeine dries out your body. You don't want to use that. You don't want to have dairy products. Dairy products, again, will clog it up, and they will not make your voice sound as good. So water is the key to vocal health. Also, Well, lozenges if you're having a problem or if you need to kind of loosen your throat a little bit. But the fact is, mostly it's water. And then, of course, you worry about allergies and fumes and dust and smoke. And there are singers that will sleep with humidifiers and vaporizers. And in the wintertime, I sleep with a vaporizer.
Really?
That air is more moist for me. And during the day, my throat will respond to the fact that during the evening, I was breathing that in. and that will give me a better sound. So it's about the sound of your voice, which you can improve. You know, somebody like Barbara Streisand, Mariah Carey, Celine Dion, these people will not work in a theater that has the air conditioning on.
Oh, really?
Because they're worried. They're worried about their voice. Of course, that's a $1 million voice they've got going there. They also, many of them, will not talk for 3 or 4 days before they record songs or open on Broadway or in Vegas, because the only thing that allows your voice to be pristine is rest. That's why a lot of these stars, and there was a thing on Nightline the other night on ABC, about how many of these new singers are damaging their vocal folds by over-singing. It's overusing your voice. Not only do they have to tour, they also have to promote their tours and their records. And by doing that, they're overusing their voice to the point where they have growths on their vocal folds.
Really?
They have hemorrhages. Hemorrhaging. Can you imagine bleeding on your vocal fold? This is happening. There were several singers they mentioned who are now off the road because they have to rest their voice for months to try to correct the problem or have laser surgery. So this is a very serious thing if you use your voice all the time to take care of it. It's there for a lifetime, but like the rest of your body, it needs to be taken care of.
You know, that is so interesting. I remember Julie Andrews, the wonderful Julie Andrews, now can no longer sing because I remember hearing that. She actually had to have surgeries on her vocal cords, and she's actually out of business now. I mean, she can do some acting.
Yes, this was in 1997. She had a growth on her vocal fold, and the surgeon did not do it properly. Laser surgery. As a result, she can speak, but she cannot sing anymore.
Isn't that just a huge loss?
It's a big loss, especially financially. So she obviously sued the surgeon, but still, she cannot perform now like she used to. And this is a critical thing they're talking about. A lot of these young singers, particularly ones from American Idol who get thrown on the road and they don't really know how to take care of their voice and the rest. Even Justin Bieber, they were talking about. They showed him he has a vocal coach now because, and during the session they were showing him on television, he was hoarse. He's doing so many shows in a row, he can't rest his voice and have it recover, and then he's just going back on and, again, damaging it more and more. And what will happen is you'll end up sounding like, you know anybody who you would think has damaged vocal folds? Anybody? There's a president. There's a president that has damaged vocal folds. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm trying to think. My little brain is going.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton,
he always sounds raspy. Have you noticed?
Okay. I get it now.
He was always kind of raspy, but as he went along and he re-ran for president after the first 4 years, he was going 24 hours a day. I don't know if you remember that, but he was actually on the plane just before the election. He kept going 24 hours a day. He was flying everywhere, and he kept talking, and the doctor said, stop talking, and he wouldn't do it. So what has happened now, he changed his vocal folds to the point where they will not come back to where they were ever again. And I heard him on a show recently, and his voice sounds worse than ever because he loves to talk, and he just continues to talk. And, you know, he doesn't give the voice it needs, take care of it properly, and he has damaged it now to the point where it is very raspy.
Well, that's a huge caution. Thank you for sharing that with us. I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Solo Pro Radio, and we're talking about learning to speak properly and convincingly, incredibly, with Bill Patty, who is your vocal, yourvoiceprofessor.com. And let's jump right back in. What's another goal besides vocal health that we need to be thinking of for overall speech and voice skills?
Okay, so we said goal number one was, of course, vocal health. Goal number two is breathing. So, what about breathing? What do you think about breathing? Breathing is something we all do, right?
I'm
breathing
for
all the
it.
Time. You're for it. Okay,
I'm all for it.
The fact is, how are you breathing, Barbara? How do you think you're breathing when you talk?
Great point. You know, I don't think we give it any thought.
There's three ways you breathe, right? You can breathe through your nose, through your mouth, or through your diaphragm. I think you know the answer to the proper way to do it.
Well, being somebody who studied music for years, yeah.
The diaphragm
is important.
That's right. Because if you go through your nose, you'll sound like this. See how I sound so much different? Yeah, it's a huge difference. And then I have no power in my voice. I can't get very loud when I'm pushing all the air through my nose.
And it's hard to take that person seriously, too.
Yeah, that's true. And my throat. Here's my throat. I sound a little like Don Knotts' Barney Fife. Andy, you know, right here in the throat area. People talk like that, believe it or not. It's very tough to do it over a long period of time because it does kind of wear you out. But the diaphragm is the proper way to breathe. That's a sheet of muscle around the midsection of your body where you get the real power because you're bringing the air up right from there through your lungs all the way up and out. And that's the way to properly breathe. Now, how do we know where the diaphragm is? Again, on this 2CD set, there's a number of exercises you'll be asked to do. You will find out where it is and how to use it properly. But we're going to do a little breathing exercise right now with you, Barbara, and see what kind of shape your lungs are in. Because it's important that you have enough oxygen when you're talking so that you will not get what's called glottal fry. Now, glottal fry is when you run out of air at the end of a sentence and you sound like this because you didn't have enough oxygen. Has that happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
And it's a little embarrassing, isn't it, to run out of air and then you think, oh, my goodness, what happened there? I thought I had enough oxygen to get through that whole sentence and I didn't make it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to say the days of the week, starting with Sunday, on one breath. So you're going to take a very deep breath, and I'm going to time you, and everybody can try this at home as well, or wherever you're listening today, and you can do this on one breath, and when you run out of air, just stop and see how many seconds you can actually do the speaking on one breath. Now, you should be able to do at least 20 seconds, and 30 is very good. Some people go 40, 45 seconds because they're in good physical condition. This is a good way to know what your condition of your lungs are. Because, you know, the more capacity you have in your lungs, the better condition you're in. So let's try it. You ready to go?
Okay. How fast do I get to go?
Speed is not important. It's all about air and how much air you're letting out of your mouth as you're doing this, but you still have to have the volume and the projection that you want. It's about letting out a little less air. That's kind of the secret so that you have more oxygen as you're going through a long sentence. All right? So here we go.
Okay.
Ready to go, and ready, and deep breath.
Okay.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's 15 seconds. Keep going. Well, that was almost 20. So maybe everybody can try that on their own. You just keep track of it and see how far you can go. And then, of course, you can make this improve as you kind of challenge yourself to do longer and longer times. And you'll learn that the real secret to keeping in that oxygen is to let a little bit less out as you're speaking, but to still maintain the same amount of projection and strength in your voice. So again, that's just a training situation, but breathing is critical to great speech. That's goal number two.
Wow, so if you do this breathing exercise over and over again, and supposedly you can keep your day straight, so that's a lot about me, but does it get better? Do you increase that lung capacity?
Absolutely, and of course, singers use this quite a bit. One of the secrets to being a good singer is to be able to take a tissue, like a Kleenex tissue, and you put it against the wall with your hand, and then you blow on that tissue as hard as you can for as long as you can. That is how singers hold that note so long at the end of a song, by developing that breathing ability to hold the note a long, long time. Now, there's a very old singer, a very famous singer named Frank Sinatra, who used to be able to hold a note longer than any other singer, they say. And everybody couldn't figure out how he used to do it. And he finally admitted that he got the technique from a gentleman who played trombone many, many years earlier in the big bands. His name was Tommy Dorsey. And Tommy Dorsey played trombone in an interesting way. He was blowing out air on one side of his mouth while taking in air on the other side of his mouth, so he never had a problem holding a long note on the trombone. And that's what Sinatra started to do with his voice and his singing, and that's why he got such great songs and great long notes at the end of songs. So there are secrets that singers have that they use to really sound better than others, and it is about breathing. That's a really important thing.
Fascinating. That is just absolutely fascinating. I'm losing track of time because I'm having such fun here.
Well, we're getting up to goal number three.
Tell me about that. What's goal number three?
Projection. Now,
that's not shouting, right?
Yeah, do you have a problem when you go and speak to a group without a microphone in a large room? Everybody hearing you, right?
Women especially, you're right.
So projection is the ability to project your voice with that proper breathing to the wall in the back of the room and hear it bounce back at you, so that you can fill a room with your voice in a projection way, but not damage your voice. That takes a lot of the proper breathing skills that I teach on the CD set to really give you that ability to do that. But it's an excellent thing to have, particularly if you speak in front of groups or you do a lot of brainstorming sessions. And if you want to impress people, that's the way to do it. When you stand up and you say something, for example, about your business, you know, they have these these luncheons where they always give you 30 seconds to make a little quick statement about what business you're in or what you do for a living. And you've got to have that memorized, of course, and it's got to be all that 30 seconds. Don't take less or more, but you have to be able to project because you won't have a microphone probably. And you want everybody to understand what you're saying exactly, and you want to say it in a very memorable, unique way so they will remember you and the business. So that's projection.
Powerful, powerful. You know, it's not necessarily loud or shouting, but there's more to it.
That's right. Be very careful. Once you develop projection, as all announcers have, by the way, when I speak in an enclosed room, like, for example, in a studio when I'm on the radio, if I project into that microphone at the level I'm projecting right now, it sounds loud if you're in the studio with me, but on the radio it sounds full. Now, this is something you have to be careful of. It's one of those things it's like a secret weapon. Be careful, because if you use that inside an enclosed car with one of your wives, you have a problem. And that's why I have two ex-wives, because they always thought I was hollering at them. And I would say, no, I'm not screaming, I'm projecting. They said, it sounds like screaming, I want a divorce. So you have to be very careful with this skill that you've developed, okay?
That's actually funny. You know, I mentioned earlier, I actually studied music. I'm a pianist. And so I really get into what we're going to talk about next, and that's resonance. And I have a piano technician who has a passion about the resonance of the keys, and he gets in there and tunes it. You talk about violins having resonance. How do you get your voice to have resonance?
Well, you talk about pianos. How much work does a piano tuner do to get a piano to sound just right?
Oh, he's a master. He's a master, and he cusses every second.
So it does involve a lot of work, and so does resonance with a voice, because that's what we want, that quality, that fine quality in our voice, like a Stradivarius violin, that would sound so beautiful when you listen to it, that not only would people buy what you're selling or want to promote you to a better job or go out with you on a date, oh yes, that resonance in a voice on the telephone can make a huge difference. Whether you're a male or a female, that can really be a wonderful introduction, and I'm online dating now, so I know about that.
Oh.
That can be a wonderful introduction before you meet somebody. They can have this wonderful impression of you as a person because of that wonderful sound of your voice that they literally fall in love with before they see what you look like, which is always a disappointment with me. But usually if I get them with the voice, I'm in pretty good shape for the actual viewing, you know. So resonance, very, very important.
I always think of James Earl Jones there when we talk in resonance, or, you know, somebody like Bing Crosby, that it's in a, to me, it always seems like a deeper voice. Why is that?
How about Barry White?
You know, okay.
Now we talk about, you know, the viewing. Barry White was not a very good looking guy. We're talking about this African American singer who sold 100 million records, 5 Grammy Awards, and a voice that was totally erotic and exotic and sensual, and still sells records today. And women, every time I mention this guy's name, they all go crazy for Barry White. Why? Because of the voice. Right. And if you say, well, the guy, did you ever see a picture of Barry White? My goodness, how could the guy ever?
It's seven women,
7 children. That's Barry White. So the fact is, it does work. The voice does perform miracles, and it can, you know, it can make you a very successful business person. It can also make you a very successful dating person. So these things are all combined into making a better life for yourself. Residence is critical. Now, goal number 5, this is one you're going to like, Barbara.
Right.
You know what it is?
I'm thinking you're moving into pitch and tone.
Pitch and tone. Now, do you sound like you have a voice that has a great deal of pitch and tone?
You're very sweet.
No, it's true. When I heard you talk about people charging enough money, you know, entrepreneurs getting the cost that they need to get for their services, I could tell the way you were selling that, you were doing that with pitch and tone. We should want to improve that because people speak conversationally, letting their voice go up, 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 or down, 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 down. So the
There's
people
that music
who are most
piece,
interesting
yes.
to listen to are the ones that really give you that real conversational feel and kind of wake you up and get you excited because of their voice and the way they can move it up and down. So pitch and tone is critical. I was a professor for many years, and I know most professors speak on one note. And you're a musician. You know about notes.
Yes.
And that's the worst thing. Put people to sleep. All college students sleep because professors talk on the same note. They never change the note. It's the same note. We're going to have an exciting test today, and you're going to really...
Doesn't that sound exciting?
So you've got to learn to use pitch and tone to make people get excited about you, your business, whatever you're selling.
Draws you in, definitely. Well, it's like a good piece of music.
Absolutely.
You know, I've
the
never been trained vocally
with
music. Excellent point.
So goal number 6. Now, where are we here, Barbara? What's goal number 6?
Well, I'm reading your notes, and I'm seeing articulation and punctuation, pronunciation.
Yeah, articulation and pronunciation of consonants and syllables. Yeah, and the fact is, lazy speakers have a problem with this, and that's because they're not really opening their mouth properly. Mm-hmm. Their jaw, you know, using all the parts of their mouth that are most important to making a sound. Now, here's a word for you: consonants. Consonants. We have a lot of consonants in consonants. And we have to get them all out. There's that T at the end, the S at the end, all of these letters that come along. But most people would say consonant, consonant. They don't want to go through all the trouble of pronouncing that T at the end because that takes that extra movement with your tongue up toward the front teeth, and you have to actually touch it and work really hard to do it in the middle of a sentence. Very difficult to do. You have to work at that, and it does take extra time and energy to really pronounce each syllable in a word or a sentence. If you do that, however, you will clearly be understood every time. No one will say, what did he say? Or be thinking, what did he say? Or what did she say? So it's very critical that your speech is excellent. You don't want to over-enunciate, which some people tend to do if they start worrying about those type things, but you have to make the whole flow of your conversation be such that it's easy to listen to and very understandable. That's what we're talking about with goal number 6.
Well, I have to say, you're an excellent example of what you teach. I'm just having such a great time, and I'm noticing we're at the end of our show today. How can people get a hold of your CD so that they can learn some more from you?
Well, the CD is available on my website, which is yourvoiceprofessor.com, yourvoiceprofessor.com. Now, I have a special little thing that I'm going to offer up to your listeners today privately. All right, Barbara, and you as well, if you like. And that is, I'm going to offer the first 10 people who call me a chance for a free, not a chance, I'm going to actually give them a free 10-minute voice analysis.
Wow.
So we'll be talking on the telephone, and during that 10-minute conversation, I will know exactly what your problems are, because I'll be listening to you speak. I've gotten to the point now where I can pretty much guarantee I know what part of the country you're from your accent, dialect, whatever it happens to be, if that's what you want to fix, or if there's something else you want to fix with your speech, or if you just generally want to improve your speech overall. So I'm offering that up to the first 10 people at 407-568-8255. Again, 407-568-TALK, and we will talk together absolutely free, and we'll see how it goes and see how you sound.
Excellent. Well, Bill, thank you so much. Today was just a hoot. I think you're excellent. Remember, it's yourvoiceprofessor.com. And thank you for listening today at Solo Pro Radio.